home
across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Talk to me about the book then and how the idea for it came around.
It did start some years ago, actually, probably about 20, I'm a little embarrassed to say. I just love music. I just love the power of music and the effect of it. I particularly enjoy the dots, which are the, you could call them crotchets.
Yeah, I could see them, on the cover as well.
I think they're magical. I think music is magical, and I just created a story around the power of music. My aim really is to encourage children with their musical instruments to practice, and for those who don't play, to be inspired to learn an instrument and keep up with the practice.
What about your own journey as well? Are you someone that sort of did writing as a hobby, and this is kind of like a sort of first venture into writing a book? Tell me a bit more about your background.
It is my first venture into writing a book. I have enjoyed writing silly poetry since a child, on and off. And I call it silly because it's just about all the silly situations I seem to find myself in. This story is hopefully the first of maybe one or two more, second one on its way. And I just really wanted to capture Beth's journey. Beth is the main character in the story. And get it out there, spread the message, really.
Yeah, so tell us what actually happens in the story then, a sort of synopsis, if you will.
A synopsis. Well, as I mentioned, Beth, she is the main character, and it follows her journey as a 11-year-old, reluctantly learning her instrument and not really wanting to practice, not enjoying. She meets a new musical professor, somewhat eccentric, and there her journey begins as a reward for her practice. She discovers a golden manuscript. She practices, and that leads her on to an adventure, which literally takes her on a flying piano, which is her professor's. There's a few near misses in the skies.
I could imagine
they have to collect passengers en route, which, as you can imagine, is nothing too easy to do. And all through it, she is co-piloting this piano, so she's very much in charge with her professor and enjoying the challenges of the flight. The story culminates in an orchestral impromptu performance where further magic follows, and there begins her next journey and her the other players with her.
Excellent. I think we were talking in the green room actually before we came on air, and yes, you'd like to read a little passage from it.
I have. So I'll take you up to the point where one of the passengers, who's Toby, who's a trombonist, joins them. He has an idea. So I'll start with Toby. So Toby explained to the professor that there'd be more comfort for them all if he moved on top of the piano. The professor joked, "You do realise I'll have to charge you first class travel rates." Mr. McKee stifled a smile. "Here, hold this, would you?" said Toby, thrusting the trombone at Beth while closing the lid over the keys to form a temporary step. The professor offered him a steadying hand as he balanced a foot precariously on the lid and reached across the breadth of the piano top. "Careful," shouted McKee. "Easy does it, Toby. Now turn. That's it." The professor took charge of the flight settings throughout while Toby manoeuvred himself into a backward-facing, cross-legged position. Beth helpfully tried to rub off the marks from Toby's trainers, which had left short streaks on the polished ebony. The professor discreetly handed a handkerchief to her from the colourful collection kept in his jacket pocket. McKee opened the lid again. "No, can't do this. Feel sick," said Toby, almost immediately attempting to turn around. He lifted his feet clear and pushed himself into a slow swivel. In seconds, his weight had shifted to one side, throwing the piano off balance. Toby was now dangerously close to the edge. "Hold on, boy!" yelled the professor, instinctively slamming down his foot. McKee lunged forward to grab Toby. Beth screamed. Toby slid clear off the edge. The once calm skies now spoke of panic and confusion. McKee snatched the trombone from Beth and dismantled the well-greased slide. He jabbed it repeatedly at the air below. Luckily, Toby was dangling from something underneath and grabbed hold of it just in time. "Hang on, I'll get you up," hollered McKee, executing an impromptu rescue plan. Toby, of course, had no choice but to hang on. McKee anchored his legs tightly around the piano stool and pulled up hard on the slide brace. Toby clung onto the brassy U-bend with one hand and stretched out his fingertips towards McKee. "Can't reach, help me!" "Come on, McKee, save the lead," called Professor unhelpfully. "Swing, boy, swing," shouted McKee.
Very good. I love the voice effects as well. I've got to ask the question. You've obviously got an 11-year-old as a sort of the centre character in all this, really. What inspired you to write a children's book for your first book?
Well, as a mother, I've seen the challenges that music practice can bring among my own children. I've also seen, sadly, how children can easily give up their instruments from that transition to primary and secondary school, some of my own children included. They've put in the groundwork, and it just seems such a shame to lose that continuity and actually close doors if they don't continue with their music practice.
So sort of a message of hope in a way.
It's a message of hope, yes, and encouragement.
You can do it if you put the work in, but obviously you have to put the work in, don't you, to
absolutely
be able to get the results you want.
And you know, on the front cover, it says, "When practice makes magic." And it is about magic, not perfection. It's about the magic, and it's about the joy that you can receive learning an instrument, and also the joy that you can give by sharing your music. And that joy starts from birth right through to last hours, final hours, with music.
Yeah. And Cambridge is the setting for the book, of course. Now, you've lived here for over 40 years, if I get that right. So, and you're also a therapist, a holistic therapist too. So
yes, I qualified with a diploma in Indian head massage around 10 years ago, and I set up my own home studio almost 2 years ago now, and see people at home.
Yep. And one final thing I wanted to mention as well is that you've got an event tomorrow. You're going to be in Cambridge, and people can talk to you and ask you questions about the book.
Yes.
That we've been doing today.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that. It's their third event since the pandemic, and organised by a lady called Anna. And there'll be seven other authors with myself there. And we'll be showcasing our books and also selling them, signed copies, and promoting artwork. And I do just want to say, the artist illustrator George, I want to thank him, because he actually brought this story to life by illustrating, and he did a fantastic job. So tomorrow also there is the opportunity to read passages to children if they would like.
And I hear there might be a second book in the works as well.
There could very well be. It seems to have oozed out more quickly than the first did, a matter of months rather than decades, I should say. So, yes, I'm getting stuck into that.
Excellent. Well, we wish you all the very best with your writing, and thank you again for coming
thank
in to talk to
Daniel.
Us about your book. And we hope tomorrow goes well as well. I hope you get a lot of interest and a lot of people that have as much enthusiasm for the book as you do.
Thank you. It's 11 till 1 tomorrow at Central Library.
Cheryl Diaz, thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you.
Cambridge 105 Radio.